I'm for Theresa May. I'm for Boris Johnson. I'm for Liz Truss. I'm for Rishi Sunak. And so factions develop and divisions form and unity falls apart. Well, actually, I'm for Keir Starmer. No, I'm for Angela Rayner. No, I'm for Wes Streeting. And factions appear and disunity happens. Thank goodness. Oh, thank goodness it doesn't happen in the church. Oh, by the way, have you heard about Tom Smith? He is such a wonderful preacher. I'm now going to his church, not coming here anymore. We've heard that before, haven't we? We've experienced that. Like many of you, I've lived through trends in church life where, the latest church leaders are the ones to follow. The latest church trend is the one to be. And there are some bigger churches that just come and plant in places and they suck the life out of all the other churches because they are the church that everyone needs to go to. Factions emerge and divisions arise. At one of the churches that Wendy and I spent a long time in our younger years, there was one period where we went through being a Willow Creek church, and we wanted to be like that church in America. Then we changed, we wanted to be a Saddleback church, and we tried to be a Saddleback church as well. Rick Warren, Saddleback, Bill Hybels, Willow Creek. We do these things, don't we? We jump around, we follow trends. Latest trend, well, it might not be the latest because I'm a bit out of touch, but is the faster forward movement from America as well, which churches are beginning to jump onto. And the problem is that these brands, because that's what they become, can also become divisive. They're the trend you need to follow. They're like the Nike footwear that you must have. And if you don't, you're not really in the right place. They are like the high street brands that we see in our shops often, and they can be divisive. When travelling back from Spurgeon's once, I travelled around the South Circular when I was at Hawley, when I used to go up to Spurgeon's for continuing development. And although the names I've changed, this is not a lie. So as you travel around the South Circular, you'll pass numerous churches because in Victorian era, they built lots of churches. And so I'd pass the traditional churches, and then I'd get to the Holy Spirit Church. A bit further down, you get to the Holy Spirit Church of God. Then you get a little further on, you get the Full Gospel Holy Spirit Church of God. Now, I've changed the names, but that is not a lie. And instead of being united, we try to create divisions because I'm just a little bit better than those down the road. This is the sort of church you need to be. And then you move on, actually, we're better than both of those down the road because our title tells you. And Paul says, I can't address you as spiritual because you are still worldly. Claiming superiority over each other because you claim to be followers of Paul or followers of Apollos. People, trends, church names, they are nothing. The point is, do they serve the purpose of presenting Christ Jesus? Do they serve the purpose of living as a community of believers, building on that foundation stone, growing in discipleship, and living in practical discipleship in the community where they find themselves, showing that transformation of love, of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness that is open to all who will receive it. And the irony for the Corinthians was that they, well, factions in the Corinthian church, thought they were really spiritual. They were claiming to be people who live by the Spirit, but they denied it by creating divisions in the church. And those divisions were not least in relation to the Spirit, as Paul deals with later on in this letter. And even later in the letter, he says, I can't even commend you for how you behave at communion, because some people have got lots to eat and lots to drink, and others have nothing whatsoever. Paul says that claiming to follow one Christian worker or another, one trend or another, is totally missing the point. But it's also being worldly, or another translation, older translation used the word fleshly. We tend to associate that with morality, but actually it's more to do with following human impulses and being selfish, not just in the realm of morality, but all around. And in this case, the human impulse was to put a person on a pedestal and claim that that leader is the one to follow. And Paul says, you totally miss the point when you do that. There is no place in church to do that. There's no place in church for leaders to become empire builders, to become self-aggrandizing, to become those that see themselves as certainly more spiritual than others. And perhaps because they are blessed by God, that begins to puff them up. It happened then, it's happened right through history, and it happens now. And certainly there are plenty of people on the internet or streaming into our rooms that would like to build a following, because that just builds them up and builds their empire. There's a worship song that's got a chorus that says, it's all about you, Jesus. None of this is for me. But often we make it about the personality, about the person. And Paul sweeps all that away by declaring, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. And he goes on to explain his role and Apollos' role in that process. Servants under the Lord. Remember what Jesus did at the Last Supper. Took off his outer robe, put a towel round his waist, knelt down on the floor and washed the disciples' feet. And then he said, we should follow that example. And Jesus set that example throughout his earthly ministry as he ministered to people, as he met with people, as he went beyond the margins to bring the good news to people. And that's why the church down through the centuries has always done that, gone beyond the margins, although sometimes we also wanted to keep things in and only allow certain people in as well. But certainly that long history of working and bringing the good news of Jesus to the vulnerable, the rejected, and the exploited. And the attitude of Jesus, says Paul, is what we should have if we read Philippians chapter 2. The one who gave up equality with God in order to come and serve us. There's no place for spiritual superiority in the church. There's no place for empire building in the church, because it belongs to Jesus. And it's through him that the church is built up. He is the one building the church to bring the kingdom in. And Paul goes on to explain this further. He uses that farming metaphor which people would have understood. Now, to be successful, even subsistence farmers need the family to pull together. They need them to do the weeding, the ploughing, the sowing, tending the crop right through to harvest. And people on the farm have their different jobs, but they're not in competition. They are working together to bring that fruitful harvest so that others can be fed. They have that common purpose as co-workers, not as competitors. And Paul was the sower, and Apollos was the one who came and watered. Now, Paul wasn't a job's worth. He wasn't saying, now, that's my job, and I move on. There was a chap at a church I was at who was an evangelist. And, you know, he could talk to anybody. But he said, that's my job. I hit and run. And I thought, that's all right then. But actually, it's bigger than that. And Paul wasn't a job's worth. He didn't just hit and run. He actually pastored the churches as well, either physically or through his correspondence. He planted, he pastored, but he knew that there were other people who would take things on and their gifts needed to be used. And he's making that point. We have got different gifts in the church, but we come together in that common purpose of building the kingdom and presenting Christ Jesus. And that's also something else he tackles later in Corinthians. Actually, he tackles an awful lot in this letter. Paul, Apollos, Priscilla, Aquila, Junia, the apostles as they went out from Jerusalem, all had that common purpose of bringing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that they met. But they weren't in the empire building business. They were co-workers. Even though they were dispersed into different places, they were co-workers in the kingdom. They weren't creating their own spheres of influence, but bringing Jesus into the lives of people as they shared the gospel and they served the churches. Notice that Paul makes the very clear point that we may well do the work, but it's the unseen work of God that brings about the fruit. It's the unseen work of the Holy Spirit that brings things to completion. And it underlines the fact that any success a church may have is not down to an individual. It's not down to a group of people. It is down to God himself as he works in the unseen way that, the farmer does all that hard work. But actually, at the end of the day, the growing takes place without us noticing. And God works through his Holy Spirit, bringing that harvest to completion. But our work doesn't go unnoticed by God. And we do have that privilege of being called co-workers with him. If we start to see the church as our church and our possession, then we've really missed the point. When ministers talk about their church and their people, they have completely missed the point. And perhaps when we talk about the ministries, the way in which we serve in church, and we think it's ours, we need to step back and refocus on Jesus, the foundation stone. The song The Servant King reminds us of that. So let us learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. Paul rapidly changes the illustration to that of construction workers who are building the church of God. And let us remember that Paul is talking about the community of believers. Wouldn't have had a concept of a building such as this. He's talking about the community. We work often to fund and maintain a building that wouldn't have been on his radar. And let's face it, they can be a real drain on resources and a real distraction. One church I was at, we used to get groups of pupils coming in because they're doing the Christianity bit in their RE. And let's face it, this is probably one of the most interesting Baptist churches because most Baptist churches are plain boxes. You know, nothing much interesting there to look at. They come in and I'd talk to them about it and I'd say, do you know what? You could blow this place up and it really wouldn't matter. I say the same about this building, by the way. You may love it, but I still say the same. Because it's the community of the people. And that is the point. Now, buildings are useful, especially in the past few weeks when it's been like it has been. But we mustn't forget, buildings can be a distraction. It's the community of the people who are the church and who are important. There's another issue. Paul would have agreed completely with Peter's description about Christ being the foundation stone, the cornerstone, or sometimes it's translated the capstone. The point is, this is the stone that holds everything together. And it's not a physical stone, it is Jesus Christ. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, says Paul, which is Jesus Christ, the foundation of the church, the foundation of the people of God. It's not the greatest preacher. It's not the latest trend. It is Jesus Christ, the one whom we follow. It has nothing to do with worship style, nothing to do with the newest church in the area. It's Jesus Christ. We need to be familiar with his teaching if we're going to build correctly on that foundation stone. And we can only do that if we become familiar with the Gospels. And I don't mean, oh yeah, I know the story of the Good Samaritan. Oh yeah, the Beatitudes, oh, they're so beautiful. Have you actually read them? Because they're so challenging. It's actually immersing ourselves in the teaching and the life of Jesus, because then we can truly build on that foundation. Sometimes people take the attitude that once you become more mature, and this is where the superiority slips in, we move on and we really get into the meaty stuff of Paul's letters. The other letters are important, but it's Paul that's really important. We don't follow Paul. We follow Jesus Christ, and then we understand Paul through the eyes of Jesus Christ. That's not to put him down, but it's to get the perspective right. We're not building on Paul, and Paul said that. We are building on Jesus Christ. And if we are to be disciples, if we are to be learners, if we're to be followers, we need to immerse ourselves in those Gospels and in those teachings. And it takes time, and it takes commitment, and it takes the whole of our Christian life. We don't stop that building and that learning. Being a disciple is not a quick fix and a quick prayer. It's a process of growing with the Holy Spirit day by day, and allowing him to be at work in us. I volunteer at Canterbury Cathedral. I do think, there's another Baptist minister who does also volunteer at Canterbury Cathedral. And I just love it. I won't go on about, Wendy says I'm terribly boring when I get on this subject. I won't go on about it. But one of the jobs I have is to do specialist talks. And I do specialist talks on the stained glass. And I can explain what the Bible stories mean. And I've groups of people, large groups of people, I explain exactly what the story is about. That building has stood for centuries. There's been a Christian place of worship there since Roman times. But it stood for centuries. And it wasn't built in a day. The foundations were laid. They're solid. They're pretty solid. Then the walls were carefully built up. And because that building has got solid foundations and there's been care taken in its construction, it has stood the test of time. Building disciples, building the church takes care, takes time, and it needs that solid foundation of Jesus. Now he expands the illustration, because he brings in the question of reward for our labour. It's a tricky one, this, isn't it? Because we believe in justification by faith alone. We believe that we're only saved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, which Paul talks about. And then he brings this in relation to judgment. Just a couple of comments on that. First of all, Paul is clear that on judgment day we have no need to fear. If we have put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no need to fear. Even if our building work goes up in flames, we have no need to fear because our faith and our trust is in him. Secondly, I think any speculation you get about what sort of rewards is totally and utterly pointless, so we won't waste any time on that. And thirdly, the point about the materials is not that you've got the best materials at the top and then the worst at the bottom. The point is this. Does it last? Does it endure? And Paul talks about his reward being those he preached to, those he's discipled, those churches he's planted, being with him in eternity. That is his crown. That is his reward. And to link back to the beginning, the building of disciples, that's what is important. It's not chasing that latest fad. Are we as church concerned about popularity? And by that I mean, you know, the latest preachers and the latest fad. Or are we concerned about following and building on Jesus Christ? And so he keeps with that building analogy and he moves on. He moves on to what, or rather who, the church is. The people who are the temple of God's Spirit, the dwelling place of God. And we need to note that he's not talking about Jesus and me. We can be quite individualistic in our faith often. But Paul isn't talking about Jesus and me. He's talking about Jesus in the community of the church. He's talking about the whole gathering of the church being the place where the Holy Spirit is. Now, as Baptists, we should understand that, because we believe that as we gather, as the church, we discern the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to us individually as well and speak to us in different ways and different circumstances. But the community is important. Neither does it mean we always get it right. But it's that fundamental point. Church is community. The building is that community. And we live the Christian faith together. And we build the church of Christ together. We encourage, we challenge, we support, we carry. And we spur each other on in building that community. We are part of the Christian community in this area. And we live as that in this area. We need to remember we don't have a monopoly on doing it right. We need to understand that just because people worship in a different way or in a different building doesn't mean that they're not quite kosher. Only if you're Baptist do you meet that requirement. Because people do, down through the centuries, have understood Christian faith and practiced Christian faith and worshipped in Christian faith in different ways. I've got friends who are conservative evangelicals and those who are the other end of the spectrum. I've got friends who are Pentecostals and those who aren't. I've got friends who are Catholics and those who are Anglicans. And I meet every week to pray with a vicar. The point is, we have one common purpose, and it binds us together. And that is the foundation stone of Jesus Christ. That one aim, to present Christ crucified and draw people to him. Now, we do need to be wise. We need to be aware of those who would divide. We need to be aware of those who would build on something else other than the foundation stone of Jesus. Need to be aware of those who have a perceived superiority and who are following their own ambitions. We need to be aware of those who come in to divide the body of Christ. And Paul writes about all of that. We need to beware of becoming puffed up ourselves and look to follow Jesus' example of the servant. Peter describes Jesus as the living stone, precious, and we are being built into that living house, that spiritual house where the Spirit of God dwells. Peter says, we believe that the living stone is not only precious, but is our cornerstone. And our challenge is not to be worldly, to be fleshly, but to overcome in the name of Christ. Overcome the disagreements, overcome the differences, and remember that we are brothers and sisters with the purpose not only of building each other up, but bringing others into the building as they confess Jesus as Lord. Our purpose is to present Jesus Christ. Let's pray. So, Lord Jesus, we pray for the church. We pray for the church worldwide that we may not be conscious of our differences, but be fully conscious of the fact that we are building on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Lord Jesus, we pray for the church in our country, that we may be those who are faithful to presenting, to living out faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for this church here, that we may know your Holy Spirit leading and guiding, strengthening and enabling us to be the people of Jesus wherever we are. And in his name we pray. Amen.